Oh, I want to mention something. I was approached. You probably don't even have Bibles with you. Some of you do. But you can turn, Zechariah, write it down. Read it later. Zechariah 5:9. Okay? Zechariah 5:9. It was brought to my attention by this lady right over here. And that there's a reference there to women, flying. And they have wings like storks. And they fly and they pick up a basket, basically, that has another woman in it, and they fly off and set it down. And they're doing what God wants them to do. And the point being is that we talked about something that I had very little direct information on, and that is, are there women angels? And this appears, and I admit it, I've read this 100 times, you know, but I read it for the woman that was being carried away, not for the woman that was carrying them away. And so, you know, you have to watch out how you read things. But it appears that these women are angels, and they're being used to do what God wants them to do. And you can read that when you get a chance. Okay, so about female angels. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate it. Thank you, Doris. Okay, now, 65. Everybody know where we left off? It says, Enoch foretells to Noah the deluge and his own preservation. And in those days, Noah saw the earth that it had sunk down, and its destruction was nigh. And he arose from thence and went to the ends of the earth and cried aloud to his grandfather Enoch. Now, I'm not going to get very far before I have something to say. He says that he noticed that something was happening to the earth, that it was sinking or had sunk. Portions of it had sunk. Now, I love geology, and in geology, there are entire sections, large sections, even in America, of earth that have dropped. When you go out, say, to Monument Valley, and you see all those flat tops and spires, and then you see, and they drop down. When you first look at it, you say, this must have been lifted. There's two ways to move earth, up and down. Okay, uplifts and then to be dropped. And you look out there and you see these flat tops. Then you see that it drops down and it's all even underneath and it's even on top. They didn't get pushed up. These subsided. They came down. And in order to have done that, now the columns, these, all of these rocks and everything, they look like columns. Because they're harder and they're sitting on something firm. From a foundational point of view, in the earth, those things are sitting there on a foundation. Okay, there are times when things come up, time when things go down. This area, they subsided. And they subsided in steps many times. When you get out in the Four Corners area, you can literally be driving along, drive off, down in, and look and see the seabed, top. Go down and you're driving down in the bottom, it's flat. That's seabed too. But it was up there and it dropped. And then you drive along and all of a sudden you go off again and there's another drop. And it dropped like stairs. Well, something had to come out of underneath it. In other words, it's being held up. Something moves out, displacement, it falls. And then this other area, boom, it falls. It's that way all around the world. The earth dropped at some point in time. Now, I'm not going to speculate exactly when it dropped, but here he's saying it's dropping. Now, in the Bible, it says that the fountains of the earth, there was a lot of water, and those fountains of the earth broke up and came up. They came up because once what was holding them down there, the earth is heavier than the water. Once there was a crack, once there was an abyss or a crack in it, they go down, the water comes out, floods the world. Okay? And God says that's how the flood happened. But it didn't happen all at once, according to this. Because he's saying he watched it happen, at least in some location. Noah did. And it bothered him. It would bother you. It would bother me because he's seen these shaking things take place. So anyway, when he said it had sunk down, it's entirely possible that he was literally watching the earth drop. Okay? Any questions? Okay, cool. And it says that, and he arose thence, went to the ends of the earth. We talked about that before, that I think what we're talking about is that he went to the edge of civilization, to the point to where nobody lives over there anymore. Kind of like you go to Golden and there's nobody beyond. That's the way it is. And he cried with a loud voice to his grandfather Enoch. And Noah said three times with an embittered voice, "Hear me, hear me, hear me." And I said unto him, "Tell me what it is that is falling out on the earth." And I said unto him, "On the earth is in such an evil plight and shaken, lest perhaps I perish with it." And thereupon there was a great commotion on the earth, and a voice was heard from heaven. And I fell on my face, and Enoch, my grandfather, now this is Noah speaking, Enoch, my grandfather, came and stood by me. And he said to me, "Why hast thou cried unto me with a bitter crying and weeping?" "And a command has gone forth from the presence of the Lord concerning those who dwell on the earth, that their ruin is accomplished, because they have learnt all the secrets of the angels and all the violence of the Satans, the adversaries of God, and all their powers, the most secret ones, and all the power of those who practice sorcery, and the power of witchcraft, and the power of those who make molten images for the whole earth, and how silver is produced from the dust of the earth, and how soft metal originates in the earth. For lead and tin are not produced from the earth like the first. It is a fountain that produces them." I think we discussed last week that maybe the soft metal is tin, but here it seems to just say that tin comes from the dust of the earth and lead and them are not. So it looks to me like tin was excluded from being the soft metal. So I would say I don't know what soft metal is. It is a fountain that produces the lead and tin. And an angel stands therein, and that angel is preeminent. And after that, my grandfather Enoch took hold of me by my hand and raised me up and said unto me, "Go, for I have asked the Lord of spirits is touching this commotion on the earth." So the earth is in a real bad state, and it's scaring everybody. And he said unto me, "Because of their unrighteousness, their judgment has been determined upon and shall not be withheld from me forever. Because of the sorceries which they have searched out and learnt, the earth and those who dwell upon it shall be destroyed." Now, we know specifically why God's causing this to happen. "And these, they have no place of repentance forever, because they have shown them what was hidden. And they are damned. But as for thee, my son, the Lord of spirits knows that thou art pure and guiltless of this reproach concerning the secrets." This is why God didn't judge him. It's because he had nothing to do with all of this learning and all of this stuff that the world, in the New Testament talks about the old world and how it was destroyed and all the men were destroyed in the old world and the old cosmos, the old system of men was destroyed. Well, this is that system that you read in, I think it's in 2 Peter. "And he has destined thy name, Noah, to be among the holy, and will preserve thee amongst those who dwell on the earth, and hath destined thy righteous seed both for kingship and for great honors, and from thy seed shall proceed a fountain of righteousness and holy without number forever. This is the promise of God to Noah's children. And after, he showed me the angels of punishment who are prepared to come and let loose all the powers of the water, which are beneath in the earth, in order to bring judgment and destruction on all who dwell on the earth. Now, if there's ever any doubt, things like this are withheld by the power of God and the use of his angels, and they're loosed by the angels as well. The angels have a lot of influence and activities on this earth according to the will of God to do what God wants and have the ability to hold things back and to let things go. That's pretty scary stuff. It's not just cooling rock, pressures, you know, just the natural operation of the earth is causing this. There are triggers, and there are spiritual triggers that are going to cause it to happen. And the Lord of Spirits gave commandment to the angels who were going forth that they should not cause the waters to rise, but should hold them in check. For those angels were over the powers of the waters, and I went away from the presence of Enoch. So what was being said here is Noah said, you have a stay of execution. That God told the angels, it's not yet time. Things are falling, everything's coming loose. If he hadn't have told them that, all this would have happened, okay? But it didn't. They got a stay of execution by God through his angels. And in those days, the word of the Lord came unto me, and he said unto me, Noah, thy lot has come up before me, a lot without blame, a lot of love and uprightness. And now the angels are making a wooden building, which they have, when they have completed that task, I will place my hand upon it and preserve it. And there shall come forth from it the seed of life, and of a change shall set in so that the earth will not remain without inhabitant. I think the seed of life, not only people, Noah's family, but I think that's in the reference. You don't find in here where all the animals come two by two. It's not in this book. It just refers to the seed of life, that the boat was a seed of life, and specifically to Noah, but we know from the Bible that it was more than that. There's more than what's written here. And I will make fast thy seed before me forever and ever, and I will spread abroad those who dwell with thee. It shall not be unfruitful on the face of the earth, but it shall be blessed and multiply on the earth in the name of the Lord. And he will imprison those angels who have shown unrighteousness in that burning valley, which my grandfather Enoch had formerly shown to me, in the west, among the mountains of gold and silver and iron and soft metal and tin. Can you bring up Google Earth for me? Thank you. We've changed a little bit here in what was being talked about, because now he's talking about those angels which did the things that got everybody in trouble. And it's Google up one right there. You can close that up at the top. Cool. Pull it around. There you go. And the earth went backwards for so many degrees. It's easy. You know, we thought it was a really big deal to move the earth back 10 degrees. Linda goes, lost a day. And it says, but what he's saying is that this, he has imprisoned those angels who did this in the burning valley of my grandfather Enoch, which is formerly shown me in the west, in the west, among the mountains of gold and silver and soft metal, and I saw that valley in which there was a great convulsion and a convulsion of waters. Okay, now stop right there. I'll come get it in just a second. I want to read this, and then I'll run that. When all this took place, from that fiery molten metal and from the convulsion thereof in that place, there was produced a smell of sulfur. So what we're talking about here is basically eruptions of lava, molten magma, coming out of the earth in this valley, okay? And along with that, there's this polluted water, and there's the smell of sulfur. And it was connected with those waters, and the valley of the angels who had led astray mankind burned beneath that land. And through its valleys proceeded streams of fire. There were angels where these angels are punished who led astray all those who dwell on the earth. But those waters shall in those days... Okay, I want to stop right there. Stopping at 7. I'm going to turn off these lights real quick. It'll only be a minute. Thanks. Okay. You guys were watching as she brought this down, right? This is the Mediterranean. Here's Tel Aviv, Haifa, Amman, Jordan, Israel, Gaza Strip, Gaza, Jerusalem, Beirut. Right up in here, this is the Golan Heights, Damascus. So this is Jordan. Now, as you look at this, you see all this dark stuff here? I'm telling you right now, that's lava flows. Those are lava flows. And those are ancient lava flows. Along this edge, all through here, in fact, when you come down into here, that's Mount Hermon right there. And this line that comes along here is the line of all the mountains, and then over here is another line of mountains. These, I believe, are the mountains of the west. Sea of Galilee, Golan Heights. You come straight out this way. Damascus is about 70 miles across here. Here's Mount Hermon. If you look down here on the left, it's 25 miles. Not very far. Okay. 25 miles. Oops. I don't need that now. Now, here's Damascus. Now, this is the valley that runs from Damascus all the way on down. You can see how this is just run. See how they have just run out of here and run down? Okay, those are very ancient. But this right here in the center, that one is only a few thousand years old. Much newer. They don't know for sure. See El Safa, lava flow. And remember what it says at Enoch? Is that he said he took them out into the valley, which is east of the West Mountains, into the valley where the lava flowed, and they chose a place, and they opened up a hole, and then they filled the hole and all of this in with the burning fire and with the lava to cover them in, to put them underneath it. This is a really big, this is like, I think, about 10 miles across here. 12.9. Now it's 13. But so you get an idea, that's pretty darn big, you know, when you figure out that that's a brand new lava flow that's that large. And it's, that's why it's so much blacker, that it comes from just about the time that we're talking about these events happening. Yeah, this down here, these down here are older, but these here are almost brand spanking new. And it's very likely that this is the wilderness of Duda El that was just away from the mountains. You remember that their judgment, those angels were judged right at Dan, D-A-N. You come down here and you will find Dan as one of these cities in this area right here is Dan. And yes, maybe a little further down. But if you've been to Israel, you know that Dan is right underneath Mount Hermon. And so it's not very far to go right out here to this location and entomb them underneath the darkness and the rocks. And these are jagged rocks. I'll show you what it looks like. There. There's your jagged rocks. Anytime you see, this is just sand that's blown in on the surface. So that's what it looks like. I thought you'd be interested. I went to, in my mind, I said, well, Duda El must be pretty close to this area. But when you actually get down to this area, it's what we call the Levant, or the East, the Middle East, comes all the way around here like this. And so this is the valley in the west, right there. And you can see, clear from this far out in space, and that's what these are satellite images. You can see that there it is right there. That's a pretty amazing, certainly bigger than the city of Jerusalem or the city of Beirut or any of this. So pretty good, cool, pretty cool stuff. Any questions?
So that is in Jordan?
Syria. Yeah. Tom, you mentioned earlier on that ISIS had been looking for Duda El. Where did you get that from? Do you still have it? Well, if you can find it and get it or a reference to it, I'd love to see it. It happens to be that area that we're looking at right now, all around there, is the primary area that ISIS is using. And because I had a map that showed where ISIS was at, where the different commands were at, and ISIS in that area is right there in that area that I'm calling Duda El. It is. It's pretty close. There are actually little towns in there, and when you zoom in, you find them. They're there. But that's, you remember what we talked about with the Fertile Crescent? That the area, I probably shouldn't have closed this. All right, where is the... there it is right there. The Fertile Crescent comes up this way, comes over here, right over here, comes through... this is Assyria, right here, and then comes down in, and of course this is... this is Lake Urmia. This is Iran, there's Tehran right there. Now you kind of get an idea, too. Things aren't all that far apart down here. So Tehran could be sitting right here. And Duda El is right there. There's Baghdad. It's also not very far from Baghdad to get over here. By the way, this area up here in 2014 was given, it was approved that the Assyrians would have a province right in here. And that's why ISIS came in there. Let's see if I can find Mosul. There it is. I'll show you this. You'll enjoy this. Come on. This is Mosul. You see this right here? That square. Okay, and it's north, straight up and down. That is Nineveh. And this is and all of this was, of course, the location of Jonah and what was going on with Nineveh. And if you come down in, let me see here real quick. There's the gate. The gates of Nineveh, and that's just one of them. Now, it doesn't look like there's anything there from the sky. But there are gates all the way around. You come over to this side here, and I believe there are still, you can see some of the ruins. These are all the original ruins of Nineveh. And I suspect that when you get back out here and you look, it came across here and down, and it was basically a square city. This is New Mosul. If you take your thing here and you go from, we'll say this corner over here, down to what would be this corner, how far is that? Yeah, 1.5 miles. Basically, it's a pretty good-sized city. And it's the same shape and the same orientation exactly as Washington, D.C. Because if you know anything about Washington, D.C., it's set as a diamond exactly the same way, north and south. Okay, any other questions? Any comments? Okay. Well, Washington, D.C. is incredibly symbolic. Symbols all the way through. And so the location of the city, the size of the city, the shape of the city, all those things are symbolic. And it was being done back here too. When you look into, there's another city besides Nineveh. Let's see if I can find. This is Arbel or Erbel. Come on. It has to catch up. Look at that wall. I mean, if this isn't an incredible city, I don't know what is. That's the gate. But I think, yeah, all these old cities had symbolism, and our capital is just like that. only probably to the 10th power. I mean, it's just amazing all the stuff that's in there. This is her veil as well. There's the gates going into the city. This is up in it. What I thought... But this is the center of the downtown. This is one of the cities that is an Assyrian fortress city as well. The old-fashioned Babylon was the same way. It was also the same shape, only clear down... somewhere in here. Now, if you guys have never used Google Earth, you can come up here into this search thing here and put I wish I could see better. Babylon, Iraq. Click on that. I go to it. Now watch what this does. See over here? There it is right there. It puts a little stick pin in there for you. And you can come down and see what Babylon, the old Babel, looked like. And what the city looked like. I haven't done that with this. But... Pardon? Yeah, Babel. That's how they spell it. The ruins of the Hanging Gardens, Babylon, Iraq. And you can get more specific. What we're not getting here is the fact the old city was over the river. But that it's entirely likely that the river ran through here at the time. But anyway, the garden wasn't guarded by the angels. The tree was guarded by the angels. Yeah, so when after the flood, when the tree was gone, okay, there would have been no need to. So it was less a location. Now, there's a lot of people today that are looking for that tree. No, I'm serious. There are a lot of people who believe they can find it and are looking at it very seriously.
They want to get a patent
on the seeds. Yeah. Well, they want to get some of the seeds from that tree, and they want to eat from the fruit and the leaves and everything else from that tree, the tree of life. Now, the Bible tells us the tree of life has been replanted, at least in general, in God's garden in heaven. And it lines, and it will be an integral part of the New Jerusalem. And it talks about how the tree goes down with the river, and it's on both sides, and the nations come and they're healed, and so there's a whole new future to it. But in the meantime, you wouldn't see the angel here guarding the tree. Okay, but there are people who believe the roots to the tree still exist where it was at before the flood. I mean serious people that are trying to find it. And they have a lot of ideas on how to get there. I saw I sat in on a class on the Garden of Eden, knowing where it is today. And it was a very, very interesting class, because what this man basically inferred was that is this. Let me come back out here. And this is a pre-flood thing. Now, what he infers is that before Noah's flood, the world was obviously didn't look like this. The lines, the plates and everything were different. That it was the fact that all of these plates, continental plates and everything, all broke up, the fountains of the deep, and they moved around to look like this. And that what was originally the Garden of Eden moved with a plate and isn't where it originally was. But that you can go back through and look for the rivers and see where they used to run and how they would run. To make a long story short, he came to a place, and he's looking at the Garden of Eden, not just biblically, but the Garden of Eden in every other religious tradition, because it's there. Okay, I mean, if we all came from the same people, we're all going to get the same thing with some caveats. And so what he did is he came in and see if I can find it here. Yeah. Short of putting in the name. He found, you all may have seen it on National Geographic. There is a crater that is exactly physically the right size with a wall all the way around it. And inside of this crater, when they checked the life, there are animals down there that don't exist anywhere else in the world. The life down there is older than they've seen it anywhere else. The men, when they find the artifacts for man, people that are buried there and stuff, they are the oldest men in the world, the oldest bones in the world. And everything indicates, and it's still so special, that particular, down inside of it, there's no drought, there's no nothing. It's like a Garden of Eden inside of this thing, and it happens to be exactly, physically, the same size as the Garden of Eden would have been. And it's basically a garden. It's walled in through this thing. And I'm drawing a blank on the name of it. But National Geographic did a thing in there and said it is the most remarkable place on the face of the earth. And the guy draws all the lines and says it should be right here. When you zoom in on it, there it is. And got red clay in the bottom. The floor of this thing is full of red clay. And he says, there's your Adam. There's your red clay. Yeah, anyway, it was interesting, you know, for what it was worth. Pardon? Well, I mean, they did studies of all the different traditions and took and combined all the information and then weeded it out. The presentation was live. Okay, I was in a room just like this. So I saw the presentation live. He wrote a book. This guy has written a book on the Garden of Eden, finding the Garden of Eden, etc. I should have bought it that day, maybe. You can go in. Nobody, they won't allow people to live in this place. Tanzania. Where's Tanzania? See, I don't think... I have followed... Here, let me back out. I have followed this. Okay? And come pretty... Tanzania. There we go. That's why I'm not finding it. Now, you see all these? Those are all volcanoes. By the way, all these pictures are from people. There it is. That would be the garden from the rim. Looking across there. There's the lake. That's looking across. There are better ones. There, that's a good one. And the rim of the whole thing, it's exactly 28 miles across or whatever it said it needed to be. Here it is again. There. And that's the other side going around to the right. Yes, and this crater here. It has this whole thing is protected now, and they consider it to be the cradle of humanity, because the people that the bones and everything they find in here are as old as anybody. But the point being, according to this guy, that it wasn't right here at the time. What he was saying was that this had come around here, all this had hooked together, and those, talks about these rivers. And he says you can track those rivers right to this if you close this up and do it. He says it works. So anyway, it's interesting. Meanwhile, back at Enoch, yes. Yeah, turn them on. If you ever get into that, you'll go to all the places you ever lived. You put in the address, it goes boop, and you go down and stand in front of the old house that you were at when you were 5 years old. It's a lot of fun. You can waste a lot of time on that. All right. Beneath that land and through its valleys proceed streams of fire. Where those angels are punished, who led astray those who dwell on the earth. But those waters shall, in those days, serve for the kings and the mighty and the exalted and those who dwell on the earth, for the healing of the body, but for the punishment of the spirit. So there's going to be a change at some point. Now their soul is full of lust, that they may be punished in their body. Now these are the angels. We talk about angels. Do they have bodies? Yes, they have bodies. They're going to be punished in their bodies. For they have denied the Lord of spirits and see their punishment daily and yet believe not in his name. And in proportion as the burning of their bodies becomes severe, a corresponding change shall take place in their spirit forever and ever. Something that is a mystery here is that this your spirit and your body are really forever connected. And somehow, some way, that's the reason that the resurrection takes place. Because you say, well, if my spirit goes to be with the Lord, who cares about my body? You know, let it stay wherever it is on this earth. But God says, no, there's a unity. There is something about who you are that he puts back together. He changes it, glorifies it, manifests it in a completely different way. But there's something important about it. For before the Lord of spirits, none shall utter an idle word. For the judgment shall come upon them, because they believe not, they believe in the lust of their body and deny the Lord, the spirit of the Lord. And those same waters will undergo a change in those days. For when those angels are punished in these water springs shall change their temperature. And when the waters angels ascend, this water of the spring shall change and become cold. There's a point in time when their judgment is done, and the water will go back to being what it was. And I heard Michael answering and saying, this judgment wherewith the angels are being judged is a testimony for the kings and the mighty who possess the earth. Do you remember when we were reading about the kings and the mighty who possess the earth, and they were being off and they were being punished? And then it said that I looked in the back and there were other forms in with them. And those other forms were the angels being punished. Now we're seeing here that the mighty men of this world and the kings and all those people that you see strutting around every day, today, right now, in control, running the ship, okay, are going to be a part of the punishment. Because these waters of judgment minister to the healing of the body of the kings and the and the lust of their body. Therefore, they will not see and will not believe that those waters will change and become a fire which burns forever. Lack of faith. Now, this next section is almost humbling to read. It's really pretty heavy stuff. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that as we read this, you'll help us with our understanding and to know what's being said. And after that, my grandfather Enoch gave me the teaching of all the secrets in the book, in the parables, which had been given to him. Okay, so now we know that Noah and Enoch collaborated. And he put them together for me in the words of the book of the parables. And on that day, Michael, the angel, answered Raphael and said, "The power of the Spirit transports and makes me to tremble because of the severity of the judgment of the secrets, the judgment of the angels. Who can endure the severe judgment which has been executed and before which they melt away?" Michael is saying, I am shaking to the core because of how terrible the judgment for revealing the secrets and the judgment because of what they had done. And Michael answered again and said to Raphael, "Who is he whose heart is not softened concerning it, and whose reins are not troubled by this word of judgment that has gone forth upon them because of those who have led thus, who have thus led them out?" Now that's a pretty amazing thing. First of all, these angels have hearts. Okay, now the heart is the soul, psuche. They have emotions. Angels have emotions. I mean, first of all, they supposedly lusted and loved these women and wanted them for wives, the ones that had fallen. But now here we're even learning that Michael has been touched by the severity of what is going on with them. That it's really bothers him. And he says, you know, who wouldn't be touched and not troubled? If you're not touched and not troubled, you don't have a heart. And it came to pass when he stood before the Lord of Spirits, Michael said thus to Raphael, "I will not take their part under the eye of the Lord. For the Lord of Spirits has been angry with them because they do as if they were the Lord." That's what, if you want to get in trouble with God, act like God. Okay? Pretend that you're the Lord in charge. That's why the mighty men are in such big trouble back here. And those who are in charge say, because they act like they're the Lord. And even the angels, when they act like they're in charge, they're in big trouble. And Michael says, I understand why God judged them. It's because they thought they were God and they acted like it. I find that whole section right there sobering, very sobering. Okay, what time is it? Quarter to three. Do you want to just do 15 minutes more and then leave? Okay, not take a break? You can take a break, might not come back. Okay, 69. "And after this judgment, they shall terrify and make them to tremble because they have shown this to those who dwell on the earth. And behold, the names of those angels, and these are their names. The first of them is Samjaza, the second is Artaquapha, and the third is money." Armserk. "The fourth is Kokabel. The fifth is Turiel. The sixth is Rumjael, Jal. The seventh is Danjal. The eighth is Nequiel. And the ninth is Barakwel. The tenth is Azael. The 11th is Armaros. The 12th is Batajel, Jal. And the 13th is Busajal. The 14th is Hanael. The 15th is Tur-El. And the 16th is Simpaziel. The 17th is Jetrel. The 18th is Tumiel. And the 19th is Turrel. And the 20th is Rumael. And the 21st is Azael. And these are the chiefs of their angel of the angels, their angels, and their names, and their chief ones over hundreds and over fifties and over tens. Some of these guys were mentioned originally as being leaders. Now they're being mentioned again as being leaders, but we've also got a lot more guys here than we had before, or some other angels. The name of the first, Jaquan, is that the one who led astray all the sons of God and brought them down to earth. Okay, now this guy, his problem was that he was one of the ringleaders in heaven before they left and led them astray through the daughters of men. And the second was named Asbiel. He imparted to the holy sons of God evil counsel and led them astray so that they defiled their bodies with the daughters of men. This guy was a counselor. He was an angel in heaven that was a lawyer. And they went to him, evidently, and asked him, if we do this, what's going to happen? And he gave them evil counsel. He misled them into what they could expect for what they were doing. They must have thought it was a misdemeanor, messing around like they were, that it would be a misdemeanor. Like maybe nobody's ever done this before. You know, well, the first offense, well, you guys will get off with a handshake, you know, slap your hand and no big deal. It was evil counsel, and he got in trouble for it. The third was Gadriel. It is he who showed the children of men the blows of death. And he led astray Eve. Now, I had a hard time reconciling this, okay, because what we know about who led Eve away, well, we call him Satan. Okay. We also know from this book that Satan is the word adversary. Okay, and he is the one we call Satan is the chief adversary. But there are many Satans. We read it just a page earlier that the Satans did this. The adversaries, the ones who actually went out and came against people. Those are adversaries. Those are Satans. And here it says that this guy, we also know him as Lucifer, the one that bears the light, carries the light, and gives the light. Okay? And he was a fallen angel because of his pain, of his pride and his arrogancy, and he had fallen. We know that from the Bible, that Lucifer, now the word Lucifer doesn't appear in here. But we are told that Gadriel, it is he who showed the children of men the blows of death and led astray Eve. Now, if this is referencing to Eve, what it means is that Satan had a proper name as an angel. And his proper name was this right here. Not that it matters to us. It doesn't change us. Doesn't change him. But Satan is a title. Lucifer is a title. This is a name. And showed the weapons. First of all, he showed the blows of death to men. Up to that time, nobody knew how to hit a guy and kill him. But there are blows that you can give to a person when you're fighting them that are fatal. And he knew them. And he it is that showed the children of men the blows of death, led away, showed the weapons of death to the sons of men. The shield, the coat of mail, and the sword for battle, and all the weapons of death for the children of men. His proper name, the one that did this, is this guy. And from his hand, they have proceeded against those who dwell on the earth from that day and forevermore. Okay, so this is what's going on. And the fourth was named Penemu. He taught the children of men the bitter and the sweet, and taught them all the secrets of their wisdom. And he instructed mankind in writing with ink and paper. This was an angelic thing where they came in and said, here's what you do. Up to that point in time, they were all tablets. Everything Enoch talks about is writing on tablets. not on paper. And thereby many sinned from eternity to eternity unto this day. For men were not created for such a purpose, to give confirmation to their good faith within ending. Isn't that an interesting statement? That God never intended that we should do that. It was never intended that man would be in the position to do that. Now we're talking now about how the history of man went based on the fall versus how God would have sent man if he had never fallen. There would have never been any need for us to sit around and confirm our own good faith by writing it down. It would not have happened. It just wouldn't have been necessary. For men were created exactly like the angels, to the intent that they should continue pure and righteous, and death, which destroys everything, could not have taken hold of them. But through this, their knowledge, they are perishing through this power. It is consuming me. It is consuming me. This is still Michael talking. And he says, this really bothers me. And the fifth was named Casajah. This is he who showed the children of men all the wicked smitings of spirits and demons, and the smitings of the embryo in the womb. How do you abort a baby? How do you kill a baby in the womb? It came through the angels, that they may pass away, and the smiting of the soul that bites the serpent, and the smitings which befall through the noontide heat. The son of the serpent, named Tabiat, and this is the task of Caspiel, the chief of the oath, which he showed to the holy ones when he dwelt high above in glory, and its name is Bakwa or Bikwa. Now, fantastic. The chief of the oath, which he showed to the holy ones when he dwelt on high above glory, and its name, the oath's name, is Bikwa. This angel requested Michael to show him the hidden name, that he might enunciate it in the oath, so that those might quake before that name and oath who revealed all that was in secret to the children of men. So when the judgment came, the angel said, I want to be able to use the name of the oath when I enunciate my judgments, so that when this stuff comes forward, it's going to have the authority that it needs to have. This is the power of the oath, for it is powerful and strong. And he placed this oath, Achie, in the hand of Michael. And these are the secrets of this oath. They are strong through this his oath. And the heaven was suspended before the world was created and forever. And through it, the earth was founded upon the waters. And from the secret recesses of the mountains become beautiful waters. And from the creation of the world and unto eternity. And through this oath, the sea was created. And it is, and its foundation, he has set it. He set for it the sand against the time of its anger. And it dare not pass beyond from creation of the world unto eternity. And through that oath are the depths made fast, and abide and stir not from their place from eternity to eternity. And through it, that oath, the sun and the moon complete their course and deviate not from their ordinance from eternity to eternity. And through that oath, the stars complete their course, and he calls them by their names, and they answer him from eternity to eternity. And in like manner, the spirits of the water and of the winds, and all the zephyrs in their paths, from all the quarters of the winds, they are preserved, the voices of the thunder and the light and the lightnings, and they are preserved, and there are preserved the chambers of hail and the chambers of the hoarfrost, the chambers of the mist and the chambers of the rain and the dew. And all these believe and give thanks before the Lord of spirits and glorify him with all their power. for their food is in every act of thanksgiving. They thank and glorify and extol the name of the Lord of Spirits forever and ever. And this oath is mighty over them. And through it, through the oath, they are preserved and their paths are preserved and their course is not destroyed. And there was a great joy amongst them. And they blessed and glorified and extolled because the name of that Son of Man hath been revealed unto them. And he sat on the throne of his glory, and the sum of the judgment was given unto the Son of Man. And he caused the sinners to pass away and be destroyed from off the face of the earth, and those who led the world astray with chains that should be bound. And their assemblage place of destruction, they shall be imprisoned, and all their works vanished from the face of the earth. From here on there shall be nothing corruptible, for that Son of Man hath appeared and hath seated himself on the throne of his glory. And all evil shall pass away before his face. And the word of that Son of Man shall go forth and be strong before the Lord of Spirits. This is the third parable of Enoch. That oath was what was said by Jesus to create the world. It is what was put out. He has his name. God tells us that it was the Word of God that created everything there is. It was God's Word. He spoke it into being. This says he spoke it into being. And everything in creation understands that they're here because of the oath taken and delivered verbally by the Son of Man, by Jesus Christ himself. And he holds everything together through that oath. Amen? I mean, that's pretty heavy stuff. That's pretty heavy stuff for an old guy back there before the flood, you know, seventh from Adam. I mean, he hadn't even seen the high-rise hotels we got today. He hadn't seen anything, but God opened his eyes. And then Michael is saying, yes, there is a name. There is a name in the name of that oath. And in the name of that oath will come the judgment that needs to come. It is in the name of that oath that creation was made. It's in the name of that oath that everything is held together. And the name of that oath is the Son of Man. And it says that all evil shall pass away from his face, and the word of the Son of Man shall go forth, and shall be strong before the Lord of Spirits. Whew. Praise the Lord. This is Michael talking about the request. This all has to do with the judgment of the angels. And Michael was talking about how touched he was because of how bad it was. Then he came back and he said, but you have to understand what they did. And then he comes in and he names them by name. You did this, you did this, you did this. You think about the Nuremberg trials, and they had all those guys. And he said, you did this, you did this, you did this. And they went through all the stuff that they did. That's what's going on here. And he's naming, you did this. You said this, you said that. And he goes through and he gets all said and done. And they said, now comes the judgment. And the judgment comes with the power of the oath, with the power of the name of the Son of Man, which was hidden. That's what they tell us in here. It was hidden until the point in time when the judgment comes. And here he does. He delivers that judgment. Now, I mean, there's a lot to study if you want to study in there. I don't know where you would go to find the meaning of the names because all I have is the English for the names. So I don't hang out on those very much because at this point in time, I don't have much to go by. And I don't know how much I want to know everything. Okay, say that again.
Well, Jesus, the Son of Man, was hidden.
Yes.
But he was hidden before the judgments, and then he was revealed.
Yeah. I believe that that's what this book is saying, is and not just right where we're reading here now, but before, when it says that, first of all, he's called the elect one and different things, and it was real obvious that who he was. But then he became the Son of Man at some point. And when he became the Son of Man, that's after, that has to be after his resurrection. Up to that point, he wasn't the Son of Man. He became the Son of Man when Mary had a baby in a manger. And then he became the Son of Man. Okay. And but his creation and all that was said and all that was done all through the ages, all the way back to the point where these angels are doing these things, all of that was through his word and what he said and the power of the oath, or the power of the word. The power of the word that was put forth by him. What time is it? That's what I thought. Okay. Good place to stop. Yeah, we'll stop there. Lord, I ask God that you would help these people on their way home. Give them traveling mercy. Set your angels around them. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. Let that oath, O God, and the word that comes into our lives through the word of God be applied to their lives, be applied to their spirits, be applied to their bodies, be applied to their all that you've given them, Lord God, and to their families. Lord God, protect them, keep them, put a hedge around them, Lord God. Let health, Lord God, according to the oath, come into their lives, O God, because we haven't denied you, O God, but we love you and we serve you, O God. Be it unto them, Lord God, according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.